Open our Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10a, the first part of verse 10. Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Father, we thank you for your word, and we confess that your thoughts are not our thoughts, your ways are not our ways. We thank you that you've given to us not only your word, but your Holy Spirit to teach us all things. And so we pray this morning as we're gathered together that the Spirit of God would open up our hearts, open up the eyes of our understanding, and cause us to see the truth of Scripture, that we might walk in obedience to the Word of God and know the blessing that comes from obeying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sharing God's Word. At our men's breakfast this past month, we had as our assignment the book by Pink on the inspiration of Scripture. And as we read that book, we were all encouraged with a new appreciation for the Word of God, the Scriptures that God has given to us, the blessing that we have in having the Word of God. What a tremendous provision that God has made for us in giving us His Word. I thought of the lepers that were outside the city of Samaria and then found out that the Assyrian armies had fled and left their camp with all the food and everything in it. Inside the city, people were starving to death. And these lepers, as they found that camp with all those provisions, began eating all they could and storing away all they could find. And finally, one of them said, "We do not well. Inside the city, people are starving. And here we have abundance." And so they went, and they cried out at the gates of the city, "Come on out, because the armies have left, and they've left all their food behind," and they shared. And I thought, God has certainly left us with an abundant provision in His Word. And certainly we need to share that which He has given to us with those who are starving spiritually, need the Word of God. Share His Word. And so this morning we want to look at sharing God's Word, as we see here in this portion of Scripture of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We see here that Paul passed through 2 towns. He passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. These towns were all about 30 miles apart, probably about a day's journey each one. They would go to Amphipolis and stayed overnight, and then the next day to Apollonia and stayed overnight, and the next day to Thessalonica, total of about 90 miles. I thought, why didn't he stay in these other towns? Well, he was looking to God for guidance as to the place where he should have his next concentrated preaching ministry. I think we need to take a lesson here that God does not necessarily place us in a bondage of having to hit every town. But maybe God has certain towns that are ready. The same way with individuals. God directs us to the individuals that He especially desires a witness to go to. And so witnessing is not a bondage. Witnessing is a freedom of sharing the gospel as God directs our steps. And so we see here that Paul went through Amphipolis and Apollonia, but his goal was Thessalonica. And here in his ministry in Thessalonica, we'd like to note a few things about sharing God's Word. First of all, we notice Paul's insistence on sharing the Word of God. Verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them. Notice what he reasoned. He didn't reason out of his own logic, out of his own philosophy. He reasoned here out of the Scriptures. Not his own ideas, not his own arguments, but he reasoned out of the Scriptures. Now, God's Word tells us that the Scriptures are like a hammer that break the rock in pieces. They're like light upon our pathway. They're like bread, food for our soul. They're like water, living water to refresh us. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the powerful Word of God is what Paul used, and he gave them the Word of God. This past week, someone mentioned to me they liked the idea of passing out Gospels of John. And we've tried to make these available to you, and there are more at the entryway there as you go out that you can take along this morning, Gospels of John to pass out, to give to people. And there are more. In fact, if they run out by the door, behind this other little door, we've got a whole box full. There must be 300 or 400 left in there yet. And so don't feel that you are shorting us. Just ask for more, because we've got more, and we want you to pass out the Word of God, to share the Word of God. This person mentioned they enjoyed passing out Gospels of John because then you never had to wonder whether your message was biblical or not. You know, sometimes you pick up tracts and you think, well, I'll pass this out, and you look at it and you say, I'm not so sure I want to pass this out, because sometimes they're not all biblical in their presentation. You're passing out the Gospel of John, you don't have to worry about it being biblical in its presentation. You have there the Word of God. It will not have a defective message. The Gospel of John, in fact, is a tract. If you notice in the next to the last chapter, chapter 20 and verse 31, John says, first of all, in verse 20, many things that Jesus did that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through His name. In other words, John is saying, I wrote this as a tract that you might get saved. You can give that out. You can give that to people. It's a tract written by God that through it people might come to know the Savior. And so it's a joy to give it out because, you know, it's scriptural in its presentation. And the purpose of its being written was that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be converted, come to know Him as their Savior. And it has a powerful message on the front of the Gospel of John. It says, freedom now. That wasn't just grabbed out of the air. That was taken from John chapter 8, verse 32. The Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And if this morning you recognize that you are in bondage, bondage to yourself, bondage to your sin, the message of the Word of God in the Gospel of John is that if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You have never known and never will know a freedom like the Son of God can give to you. Freedom from guilt, the guilt of your sin upon you. Freedom from the power of sin as day by day. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to give you victory in your life. Freedom. Freedom through the message of God. And so we need to be passing out the Word of God. It's powerful. Also in the book by Pink that we read on divine inspiration, he tells of the power of the Word of God, of a Buddhist priest who was one day looking through some things in the temple, searching through the temple, and he came across a Gospel of Matthew. He found out later that that gospel had been left there by one of the servants who had received it from a missionary passing through. And it had gotten left there in the temple. And he found this gospel of Matthew and he began reading it. And as he got to chapter 5, in verse 8 it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And he stopped right there. He says, "I'll never see God because I'm not pure in heart." And that bothered him. It weighed upon him. He was concerned. He said, "What shall I do? I'll never see God. I'm not pure in heart." Until one day, after more than a year of struggling in this way, he heard that there was a foreign devil in town. A foreign devil was the name for a missionary. And he was selling books that spoke about God. And so he went to find this missionary and said to him, "Is it true that only those who are pure in heart will see God?" "Yes," the missionary said, "that's true. But the very same book that tells you that you must be pure in heart to see God also tells you how you can come to be pure in heart." And there he explained to him of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, of forgiveness through repentance and faith, of the newness of life in Jesus Christ. And he found peace, that peace that passeth all understanding. The missionary that gave out that gospel of Matthew probably never knew what happened to it, but God used it in a marvelous way. Some of the gospels of John we give out, we may never know what happened to them, but God will use his word in a powerful way. He says, "My word will not return unto me void." And so we need to give out the word of God. Now, sometimes God will give us opportunity right at the first to explain the message of the gospel of John. Sometimes not. But we have that opportunity. And also on the back table, there are some little leaflets talking about the year of the Bible. Maybe you'd like to put a leaflet in your gospel of John and say, "Did you know it's the year of the Bible? Would you like to read a part of the Bible to celebrate the year of the Bible that has been proclaimed by our president?" There are many ways in which God would use you to give out the word of God and share his word. Paul insisted on sharing the word of God. Secondly, we see his method of sharing the word of God. In verse 3, we read, "Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead." What does he mean? Opening and alleging. Very literally, it means to open up and set forth. It's like you have a candy bar with a wrapper and you want to share a piece of it with your friend. Well, you have to open it up and set it forth. And so you have here the Word of God, and Paul opened it up and set it forth. And there are occasions in which we can not only hand a person the Gospel of John, there are occasions when we can open it up and set forth the truth. How in the beginning was the Word. He's from everlasting. He's God. He's not just man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 verse 14. Just going right through the Gospel of John and pulling out key verses and sharing the message of salvation, opening up and setting forth the truth of the Word of God. Just as the missionary there had the opportunity when the man brought the Gospel of Matthew, opening up then and sharing the rest of the teaching of the Word of God. And there are so many good verses in John. John 1:12, 3:16, 5:24, 8:32, 10:9, 11:25, 14:6. These all bring memories to you. You know what those verses are. Key verses to share with people from the Word of God. And so as you have opportunity to give them a Bible, or give them a Gospel of John rather, sometimes right then you can share further. Sometimes not. Sometimes you'll see them again later. And you can ask, did you read the Gospel of John? Did you see in it how you can have life in Jesus Christ? Do you have a moment? Let me show you a few verses. And it's God's way then of giving us opportunity to share the Word of God of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A simple message, and yet many people have no idea why Jesus died and rose again. And so the method of opening up and sharing, setting forth. Thirdly, his confidence in sharing the Word of God. Paul shared the Word of God with confidence. In our day, as we see the wickedness prevalent in our nation, we wonder sometimes, you know, does it do any good? But Paul shared the Word of God with confidence, knowing that God was going to bless it and bear fruit. And we read here in verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul. Fruit. I'd like to give you a literal translation of this. Literally, it is, some of them were persuaded and were allotted to Paul. Ken was mentioning that when they were in England, they had a course on Bible translation. Part of that course was to take a portion of Scripture and put it all in the active voice. The subject doing the acting. Now, the motivation there is that theories of writing say that if everything you write is in the active voice, then your writing is more powerful, more dramatic. And so what they're trying to do is to get translators to put the Word of God in active rather than passive voice. The Word of God is God's Word. If God had wanted it in the active voice, He could have inspired it to be written in the active voice. These two verbs are both passive. And so, literally, it is, were persuaded and were allotted to Paul. They were persuaded and were allotted to Paul. Now, that's important. Because when it says here, they believed, we have a lot of believism today, easy believism. What it's saying here is that they were persuaded. They were persuaded to the point of obedience. Sometimes the word is translated, they obeyed. They were persuaded to the point of obedience. Not just, I believe that. And then, then you must be saved. They were persuaded by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God to the point of obedience to God. And then it says, they were allotted to Paul. Thayer in his lexicon adds what he says is the logical conclusion of the portion here. They were allotted to Paul by God. In other words, God has to be the one who did the allotting. They were persuaded and they were allotted to Paul by God. In other words, God is bringing to Himself His own by the power of His Word. This is what it's saying. Now, that's the encouragement. That's why Paul here had confidence as he shared the Word of God. His confidence wasn't that he was going to be able to talk somebody into this. His confidence wasn't that there are enough good people out there that will want to believe my message. His confidence was that the Spirit of God would use the Word to persuade them to the point of obedience. And God was going to allot him from that congregation there in the synagogue, those that would belong to Jesus Christ, those that would come to Jesus Christ. So they were allotted to Paul by God. Now it doesn't tell us how many. Luke says great multitude. He didn't give the statistics, but he said there was fruit. God gave fruit. Now not all believed. Verse 5 says, the Jews which believed not were moved with envy. Not all believed. Nevertheless, Paul preached to all of them. You remember it says he opened up the Scriptures and set forth the truth. Paul preached to all of them. Not all of them believed. Now, we need to preach to everybody. And I believe it's an abomination before God to use the atonement of Jesus Christ for limiting the full, free preaching of the gospel to every man, woman, child. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In the Old Testament, we have pictures of the death of Christ. One of the pictures of the death of Christ is the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would offer a kid, the blood of that one kid, and then the other one would be let go free of a goat. He would take that blood into the Holy of Holies, and he would do that once a year. The accomplishment there was that it meant another year of grace for the whole nation of Israel. The wicked sons of Belial, as well as the godly Israelite, had one more year of grace because of the offering on the Day of Atonement. One more year in which to seek God. And during that year, the prophets would preach, and Isaiah preached Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The preaching of repentance for another whole year because of the Day of Atonement, bringing propitiation from the wrath of God upon sinful man. The blood of Christ shed upon the cross accomplishes propitiation for every man. And we can and must warn every man, be ye reconciled to God. Some didn't believe, but some were allotted to Paul by God. And the reason was because we have another picture in the Old Testament, and that picture is of an Israelite who would bring a lamb to the temple, and there he would lay his hands upon the head of that lamb and confess his sins and cut the throat of that lamb, and the blood would make atonement for his sin. Nobody else's, his. Only his. That wicked son of Belial that was out there received no benefit from the death of that lamb. It was for the one who placed his hands upon the head and claimed that sacrifice for himself. For him, it was an atonement. For him, it was a redemption. And he was redeemed from his sins. And so also Christ upon the cross not only accomplished propitiation for all men, he accomplished redemption for his own, fulfilling the picture of the sin offering brought by the sinner, laying his hand upon the head of the animal. And that's why Paul could say regarding Christ, he said, he loved me and gave himself for me. That's why Christ could say of his church that he loved his church and he gave himself for her. You see, the atonement was pure, total accomplishment. The atonement provided nothing. We have a serious error in our day that talks about the provision of the atonement. The atonement provided nothing. The atonement was pure accomplishment. Christ in his death upon the cross accomplished propitiation for all men. And we go to all men and we cry out, be ye reconciled to God. The atonement accomplished redemption for Christ's own. And that's the only reason we have any encouragement for preaching the gospel. Because were that not so, were that not an accomplishment, we would accomplish nothing. Because wicked men dead in their sins will not repent. And if Christ did not accomplish redemption on the cross, forget about passing out Gospels of John. It's a waste of time. We read that God drew to Paul. Of that synagogue, those who he had chosen for himself. That's the only reason we send out missionaries. Because we know that God has accomplished his purposes and will finish his work. Now, some of us have come out of churches who restricted the atonement to the point of refusing to preach the gospel to every creature, and we saw them curl up and die in their error. We don't want any part of that. Others of us have come out of churches whose limitless atonement has thrown them into the confusion that leads to the same kind of evangelism that Saint Xavier practiced when he went to Japan. And he walked through Japan, sprinkling water on everybody that would let him. And he returned from his voyage, proudly stating that the entire nation of Japan had turned to God. And so you see the serious consequences of error, either of restricting the full, free preaching of the gospel, or of refusing to acknowledge that it is God who does the work in the hearts of men. And so we see here in this portion of Scripture, Paul's confidence as he shared the Word of God. Some were allotted to Paul. Paul opened up, set forth the Scripture to every person in that synagogue. And we pass out Gospels of John and we will talk to every person we can. Some of them will be allotted to us by God. And that's our hope. That's our joy. That's our encouragement. That's the only reason it's worthwhile going. Lastly, his reward for sharing the Word of God. Well, he had one real nice reward. That's the joy of seeing those who were obedient to the Word, those who were allotted to him. What a joy to see people obey the Word of God. What a thrill. On Wednesday, studying Jeremiah, we saw that the greatest thing you can do for a minister of the gospel is to obey the Word of God. And if you appreciate the preaching of the Word of God, the greatest thing you can do for the preacher is to obey the Word of God. The greatest thing you can do. You can give him a new car. You can give him a new house. You can give him a new raise. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But the greatest thing you can do for the preacher of the Word of God is to obey the Word of God. This just isn't my thought. This is Scripture. In the third epistle of John, in verse 4, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Those to whom he was preaching, the aged apostle John, called children, his children. And he says, brethren, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And as a preacher of the gospel, I believe I can honestly say to you, I have no greater joy than to hear that you are walking in truth. What a joy that is. And Paul had the joy here of seeing some who were obedient, who walked in the truth. What a joy. That's part of his reward. Here's the rest of his reward. He was kicked out of town. That one isn't quite as much fun, is it? Those who were disobedient to the Scriptures moved with envy. And that'll happen. Some people won't take your Gospel of John. A little boy took a Gospel of John home. He wanted to give it to the father of his playmate. Excitedly took it over, and we don't know why, some misunderstanding perhaps, but the father wouldn't. Instead of taking it, he sent the boy home, and he was crushed. And we know how that is. You've probably been crushed too, haven't you? I know I have. When you're rejected, and they won't take it, and they won't listen, they won't read it. We fear rejection, but Jesus was despised and rejected of men. And we need to face the fact that there will be times when we will be rejected. But that doesn't make any difference. We need to. Perfect love casts out fear, and we keep on passing out the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, opening up the Word of God, because it's a powerful word. A lady said to me on one occasion, she had just met one of the members of our church day or two previously, and as I was talking with her, she said, "Oh, I met so-and-so from your church." I said, "Oh, that's nice." She said, "I don't know why it is, but I just keep on running into people from your church no matter where I go." Now, well, we aren't that many, but apparently we get around. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if on one of these occasions when you reached into your pocket and you pulled out your Gospel of John and said to the person, "You know, this is the year of the Bible. Would you like to read the Bible for yourself? Here's the Gospel of John. I'll give it to you. Would you be interested in reading it?" And the person says, "I got one of those. Somebody else gave me one. What's the back? Lake Drive Baptist. Yeah, somebody gave me one of these already." Wouldn't that be great? To run into somebody that already had one? That's the way we need to cover Grand Rapids. Got a whole box full back there. When that box is gone, we'll buy another box. Let's share the Word of God. We can share it with confidence because God uses His Word. We share it with joy because we know it will not return void. We know He will accomplish His purposes. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we confess that Satan is so desirous of keeping us from giving forth the Word of God. He'll get us into any kind of doctrinal box he can put us into if it'll just keep us from giving out the Word of God. Father, we pray that we might be wise in seeing what He's trying to do, and recognize that we have a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there is no scripture that would in any way hinder us in the least from fulfilling that commandment. And that means not only sending missionaries to foreign lands, it means this week giving out some Gospels of John, or looking to You for whatever way You want us to give out the Word of God. There's nothing in Scripture that would keep us from that. We recognize, Lord, how people would twist the Word of God to keep us from giving out the Scriptures. So we pray we might be diligent. And Father, we pray that we might go forth in faith, believing, and confidence, and that we might really give out the Scriptures. We might open up the Word of God, and not just a superficial evangelism that accomplishes nothing, but that by Your grace, Father, we might open up the Word of God and see You use the Word of God in meeting the needs of men and women, drawing them for Yourself. Sometimes we won't know what happened. Sometimes we will. We pray that by Your grace this might be a good week, a good month, a good year, a good rest of our lives sharing the Word of God because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. For we pray in His name. Amen.